Good morning. It's good to see you here. We had a wonderful time at the National Youth Gathering, and I know that most of the kids had a great time at Camp Lone Star the week before. It's good to be back. And this morning we're going to look at goodness and kindness, or we're supposed to look at goodness and kindness. I don't know if you had a chance to read the Belief Series chapter for this week, but Randy Frazee actually distinguishes a little bit between goodness and kindness. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask that you would be with us now as we turn to your word. Lord, that we take in what your word has for us today, and Lord, that you continue to work in our lives and in our hearts as you soften them for us to be kind to one another and to have a good heart about everything that we do as we live in this world. We ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really never thought about this before, but what Randy Frazee says in the book, and he did it in our Bible class this morning as well, kindness is something that you do that really generates a positive feel to it. I mean, the person who's on the receiving end of an act of kindness typically feels good about it. There's a positive feel to it. On the other hand, goodness sometimes is doing the right thing even when it might be perceived as something not so good. In other words, it might be rephrased as we've all probably heard the phrase, tough love. And so he really distinguishes between those two. And for that purpose, since if you look at those two words with the different meanings behind them, that could be two sermons. And I don't think you want to sit here and listen to me preach two sermons this morning, right? So I'm going to preach one on the kindness. If we think about kindness, acts of kindness, I'm sure we've all experienced those in our lives from other people, and hopefully we've been on the giving end of those as well. As we look at the Old Testament, or the Bible in general, there's story after story of acts of kindness that are portrayed in people's lives. Today we're going to look at that Old Testament reading, which I felt kind of bad, you know, when you give an Old Testament reading with all of those names in there, but Tom did a pretty good job, right? I may pronounce the words just a little bit different, but I actually looked on my Bible app that reads it to you, and I listened to the ESV version and the NIV version, and both those guys that read, they pronounced them different. So I may pronounce them a little different than Tom did, but we're just going to go with it and say they're both right, okay, this morning. But as we look at David, David showed an act of kindness to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Now, I want you to be honest. How many of you remember the name Mephibosheth in the Bible? I'm going to have to be honest with you myself. I remembered it now, but last school year, this came up as one of the stories for the preschool chapel and week, David and Mephibosheth. And Stacy said, hey, do you know what the story is next week? And I said, no. She said, you better look at it. And I said, why? Because she said, it's about David and Mephibosheth. And I'm searching my mind, is there a guy such as Mephibosheth in the Bible? Well, sure enough, he's tucked right there in one spot, right? And so it's not a very well-known story, but yet it's going to be a story that we see where David shows this great kindness toward Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. We did point out, and as I talked with the kids, a lot of times we don't display these acts of kindness, and David certainly was not a perfect man through his life with adultery and putting Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, on the front line to be killed. But here he made a promise to take care of Saul's and especially Jonathan's family, and he's going to follow through with that now as we get to 2 Samuel chapter 9. I would like to look at that. Obviously, Jonathan showed great kindness and love for David himself, when he watched out and protected him from Saul, who really wanted to kill him, he had David flee. But now in 2 Samuel chapter 9, I'm going to reread a portion of this, maybe all of it. But it says, and David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Here we see, you know, going back to that friendship that Jonathan and David, he wants to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. "Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he said, 'I am your servant.' And the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God to him?' Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet.'" Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you can be reading a story in the Bible, and all of a sudden, they throw in these details that you're taken back by. What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? He's crippled in his feet. I don't know. There's a story of a king, too, that the Israelite kings are in pursuit of. It's a king of the enemy. And we're told that he's left-handed. You know, just out of the blue, they throw in some of these details. But he's crippled in both feet. "The king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar.' Then King David said, sent and brought him to the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Behold, I am your servant.' And David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always.' And he paid homage and said, 'What is your servant that you should show regard for a dog such as I?'" And I thought about this, and I thought, what does that really mean? And if you think about it, all of Saul's family, and really basically all of Jonathan's sons, other than Mephibosheth, have been killed in battle. And which might come into play why it points out he's crippled. If he wouldn't have been crippled, he would have been out in battle and probably killed as well. And so this is the only son that's left. And being crippled was probably like being worthless, an outcast, not good for anything from the male perspective. And we sense that here with Mephibosheth saying, "Why are you being kind to me? Because of the dog that I am. No one has ever shown me any respect or regard." And so we have that where David is showing him a great kindness to someone who's probably never experienced this before in their lives. "Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, 'All that belonged to Saul and to all the house I've given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table.' Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, 'According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do.' So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet." Once again, it points that out. If we think about this kindness that David is showing someone who's, like I said, probably never experienced this again. He's restoring all of his grandfather's land to him. He's going to live really in a high estate of honor from what he has ever experienced before. But we see that David is showing this great act of kindness toward Mephibosheth. And if we think about, I mean, you can probably come up with other instances and stories in the Bible where we see a great kindness being shown to people. Jesus himself did this all of the time when he healed the lame, the blind, when he provided wine to the wedding guest, and when they ran out of the wine, when he fed 5,000. When he did all of these things that he did, sure, they were miraculous things most of the time, but those were all showing kindness to the people of his time. And as I thought about the kindness that, you know, David showed, now David's showing of kindness, sometimes we show kindness because someone has shown it to us, right? Sometimes we show kindness just because maybe someone else, we may not be showing the kindness to that particular person, but it was brought out in Bible class, we may show someone kindness because we've been shown kindness from someone else, and so we want that to overflow into someone else's lives. I want us to watch a music video. It's kind of a dated one. It was recorded in 1999 and released in the first part of 2000. The artist of the song is Clay Walker, and The Chain of Love is the title of the song. But I really think this video, if you don't like country music, just listen to the words. I think the lyrics of this song and even the images that are portrayed in this video really, really show us what we're talking about here this morning. Let's watch the video. For some reason, it takes about 30 seconds for this to get started good, and I tried to find a way to cut that out, but couldn't.
You don't owe me a thing. just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the ladies known had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, "Everything's gonna be alright. I love you, Joe."
I'm not going to say that every time you do an act of kindness, it's going to be reciprocated to you or your family. But isn't kindness contagious? I mean, have you ever had someone do something for you that's kind and you just want to do something for someone else? And I think that's the whole picture of what kindness is from a perspective of a Christian's life as well. I mean, we talked about in Bible class how it's not our automatic inclination of our heart to want to be kind, but yet we've had the greatest act of kindness shown to us. I mean, if you really think about it, God sent Jesus into the world to take away every wrong that we've ever done and will do for the rest of our lives here. He's wiped it away. He's wiped it clean. And every morning we start fresh anew with a chance to show God's love to someone else. It's kind of like this chain reaction effect in our lives. Because of what God has done for us, we don't want that chain of love to end with us. We want to spread that. We want to use that in our lives to reach out to the people who need something around us. What does that look like? Well, with the children, we talked about how at school that might mean being a friend to the person that doesn't seem to have any. It might be standing up for the person who's getting pushed around and bullied. It might be sitting next to a hospital bed where someone's loved one is dying and just sitting there with them, letting them know you care about them. It might be helping the person carry their groceries out to their car that can't do that. It might be giving someone some food that's sitting there on the sidewalk with a sign. We experienced this at the National Youth Gathering. We had a family walking behind us. The lady fell. Stepping on a curb, she twisted her ankle and went to the ground, and all of our group ran and picked her up, and we were walking away, and one of our girls said, "Hey, I think we ought to pray with them." We turned around and went and asked if we could say a prayer for them. Those acts of kindness that present themselves to us on a daily basis, let's don't miss them. That love that God has for us through His Son, Jesus, is something that's supposed to be an extension of our lives. It's something that's supposed to flow from our hearts now as God has shown us that great act of kindness through His Son, Jesus. If we look at our verse for today, the memory verse, why don't we read this together? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. I think that's a real good phrase there, always strive. Because that's what we do, right? As I said, we're never going to be perfect at it, but we strive to do what's right, to do good to others and not pay back wrong for wrong. And as we look at the key virtue for today of goodness and kindness, let's read this together. I choose to be kind and good in my relationships with others. And we choose to be kind and good only because we've had that goodness and that kindness brought to us through Jesus. In the phrase of, I guess, Clay Walker's song, we must not let the chain of love end with us. We reach out with Christ's love to fill their lives with joy, with hope, with peace, with kindness, hope in the hopes that they will know who Jesus is, and then that will flow from them. I don't know if you can imagine what the spread of kindness would look like if every single person did an act of kindness to someone who's had that done to them. It would be incredible. And it would be an incredible way for God's love through Jesus to be extended to so many people. May God continue to work in our lives so that we can bring that kindness to the people around us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.